It's hard to enjoy your daily yoga routine when your mind is on your next VAT return and how to avoid the usual mistakes. But with QuickBooks, the new VAT Smart Scan technology does the work for you. As the deadline approaches, it checks for duplicates, looks for anomalies, and reviews VAT codes. So your biggest struggle is touching your forehead with your ankle.
Search for QuickBooks, perfect for making tax digital. QuickBooks, backing you.
Yeah. With bars and hoops, Lamar and swoops, back alley cats, the backdoor cuts with alley oops, posting up. You on block or Mike and Booth and kick it out to one who likes to shoot. Oh yeah, that we merging them. Got 50 with a surge and then some throwbacks like Snoop Dogg with Magic Irvin's and some more in like Master P and Dr. Irvin Blend. Or how about maybe a little Wayne speaking on Bird back then? Balls and hoops, y'all, we hitting up all courts. For now with the sports talk, next we talk all sports, back to it. Got Jada and Jamal Croft, haters get crossed out, crossed up across all actual facts, points of view that you never seen from your favorite artists, like talking about Devil Green or Gerald Wallace, whoever's on your favorite team. L, I mean on the verse and still be great on the name for B&H. Drake's opinion on Spates, one synopsis of Blake, tip on Horford's fate, the facts we giving them straight, the truth they shitting on tape, who sports makes for a state, so true or you can debate, on who you really done rate, come through it really be great, the truth of fact like a state, AAM or Prime 8, please remember, bars and hoops, the center of the hood, make it part of your agenda.
What up, what up, what up, y'all? Bars and Hoops, episode 29, Steals the Great. Today's episode is featuring, you know, a Queens legend, man. You know, you probably heard us talk about him in the last episode with OG Smalls and my co-host Tone. You know, Mr. Billy Coleman, a.k.a. Coleman. The Beast, you know.
He's in the house, man.
Definitely a Queens legend, man. What up, Beast? Definitely the old-timer, man. They can come in. He could definitely come and shed some light, man.
I heard you was the man. Sorry to cut you off, man, Stills, but I'm so delighted to have these type of guys in here. And we was talking to Smalls on episode 27, so we got the Beast, Mr. Billy Coleman, in here. And what's going on?
Yeah, man.
So how that's good.
When did you start getting into basketball, like, first off?
I started playing... When I was about 5 or 6 years old, my father put the ball in my hand. Uh-huh. And we were living in Harlem then, on 39th and Lenox. Okay. That's where my father went to Dewey Clinton High School.
Okay.
So that's where I started playing basketball.
Okay.
And then we moved from there in 61 here to Queens.
Okay.
And I continued playing ball then.
Okay.
I started playing in the CYO League, which was St. Catholic of Siena.
You played the St. Catholic?
I played there, yeah.
Wow.
And from there, you know, we played St. Pascal Ballon and Sacred Heart. So we were in that league there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So from there, I went on into junior high school, mm-hmm. and then into high school.
Okay.
And go ahead.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Springfield Gardens High School.
Okay, Springfield. Okay.
And my man, Doug McMillan.
Dale Davis.
They was on the team?
They were on the team with us. They were, you know, part of my team.
Okay. Was that city champions them years?
Or well, we didn't become city champs until our junior and senior year.
Oh, you won? Okay. Oh, so y'all won? Springfield won the championship?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we beat... I'm trying to think of school who we bested with Van Buren.
Van Buren.
With the Edwards boys.
So Van Buren was a good school.
No, Van Buren was tops, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
that's what Smalls was talking about. Van Buren was the school in them days.
Yeah.
And y'all had to battle it out.
Yeah, it was one of them sleeper schools, which is a school that they do what they do without the fanfare. Wow. So you don't know, you know, what's coming down the pipe with them.
Gotcha.
Good school. Gotcha. I was quiet, you know, until, you know, we came on the scene and started challenging.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was Springfield Gardens back in the day, Martin Van Buren. And back then it was Andrew Jackson. We call it Campus Magic.
Who was the coach at Jackson back then?
A guy named Chuck Gramby.
Oh, Gramby was back then? Wow. Gramby was back in the 60s?
Yeah, he was there. He was there when I came. No, in the 70s, because I graduated in the 70s. So, no, you're right. He was there because I went from 66 to 70.
Okay.
And he was there.
Oh, okay.
See, I played on my sophomore, junior. I played 3 years.
Oh, awesome.
Varsity ball.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you was a problem then, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, what position did you play?
Well, back then, 6'2 was considered tall. Okay, so I played center.
Yeah, you playing center?
And yeah, forward. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. So growing up, and you played in a lot of the playground and parks.
Yes. Like, Springfield, which is now Montebello, which is Bello.
Right.
O'Connor Park on 196 in Murdoch. Right. 15. Uh-huh. And 30, which is where the precinct is.
Yes, 30 game?
Yes, 30 had
something really?
Here, but it was a small scale.
Really?
You know, yeah, yeah.
But it's small.
It's a small.
Well, it was small back then.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard of Foster Bay? They went to University of Connecticut years ago. They were a family of Bays back then. They lived on, what's the street, 170th off of Baisley Boulevard.
Oh, no.
On that side of town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, there was two brothers. One went to Indiana. Oh, gosh. I can't think of their names.
Okay.
It escapes me. I'm going to come back to them because they're worth being mentioned.
Really?
They were good. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So, man, a lot of guys.
Yeah, a lot of guys came out of this community.
I didn't know that. I had no idea, like you were mentioning earlier, that, you know, I didn't know that Kareem grew up here in Hollis.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Lou Alcindor. Like, you know, Phil tone in on a little bit of the stories. He said, who was your friend, Saul?
Saul McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
Saul McMillan was good friends with Kareem. Uh-huh. But Alcindor back then.
Yeah.
And they had a crew that mm-hmm. used to come out. So we would always see Kareem mm-hmm. quite often. You know?
That's crazy, man.
How tall was he at that time?
He was pretty tall. He wasn't 7 foot, but he was tall. Maybe 6.
Was 11. He highly recruited at that time, or he just started
going to UCLA, but prior to that, he was at Powell Memorial.
Where is that?
In Manhattan.
Oh, so yeah. I didn't know that he played ball in New York City. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all, man.
He played with Dean Mimminger.
Dean Mimminger.
Right.
Dean Mimminger used to play for the Knicks.
For the Knicks, right.
Really?
He was a guard. Well, see, back then...
Did he coach St. John? One time?
Mimminger?
No. I heard that name, though.
He passed not that long ago.
Right. He's one of the Knicks legends.
One of the Knicks legends.
Yeah.
His son is a reporter on News 1.
Really?
That's his son.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. So one of the few things that's, Smalls I mentioned... Was Sonny Dove lived on your side? Were you familiar with Sonny Dove?
Yes, I was. He went to St. John's.
Really?
He was very good.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a big guy. He was center.
Oh, he was a center as well. Okay.
Center as well. He lived on Anderson.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Smalls was saying that they would release doves at the game while he played. I still can't get over that. Man.
Sometimes it was 5. Sometimes it was 6. Yo, they really let doves go.
Yeah,
I'm
wow,
telling.
Wow, man, they really let doves go, man. Wow. So, did you guys used to travel like the different boroughs and play against other guys?
They had what they call traveling teams, mm-hmm. and they would just get a group of guys. They would try us out. Mm-hmm. Remember, the naval hospital in the back there. They have a court.
Really?
Inside, yes, it's indoors. And that's where we used to go to try out for the traveling team.
Really?
And you would go to Brooklyn, you'd play at St. John's Rec, because that was the top community playground in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Anybody that plays ball would always play there, you know.
Which one again? Which one was that again?
St. John's.
St. John's, okay.
St. John's Rec. That's what
St. John's
called.
Rec, yeah. Okay.
And you had boys from Boys High School.
Connie Hawkins.
But Connie was much older than we were.
Oh.
You had Mel Davis.
Mel Davis.
Brother named Sylvester, but Sylvester went to Franklin K. Lane High School.
Franklin K. Lane.
Mel Davis played for the Knicks.
Really?
And then when he retired, he's in their organization as of today. But
really?
He's still there, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's why I like Dolan, man. Dolan has a lot of blacks in his regime. You know, as much as people say that, you know, he's too loyal to a degree, man, he employs a lot of African Americans within that New York Knicks organization, yeah. Man. I definitely commend him for that. Yeah. You know what I
you
mean?
Have to, because I don't think there's a GM or an owner that has as many African Americans in their in their programs as they do here in the Knicks.
Nah, and the top two is the top two shot callers is Steve Mills. And now the guy that they just got.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And then so you can't knock them.
I don't think it's that way at the Clippers, you know, out there. They have a net ordeal with, with racism out there.
Exactly.
You
know, yeah, so,
but you do have to tip your hat to Dolan for hiring as many African Americans as he does.
That's definitely nice. And he definitely put up Isaiah stuff too.
Isaiah's still his man.
Isaiah's the GM for
The president for the Liberty.
And if you pay attention to what you read, you know, he's going to end up back in the Knicks.
Of course.
I hope he does, man.
I like Isaiah Thomas, man.
Yeah.
You know,
he knows talent.
He knows what you're saying. He does know talent.
I give him that, definitely.
Yeah. And that's why he, you know, has him that close to him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So how'd you get the nickname The Beast?
Well,
that's what I was trying to get. Yeah,
like, man. I was saying, 6'2" was tall back then. See, I played what they call position basketball. I didn't jump all over the place because I wasn't a high jumper. So I had to go to my thought process to figure out how I'm going to get that rebound.
Wow.
So what I would do is I would put myself in front of the guy that's going to get the rebound.
Box out.
And I would box out.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They don't do too much of that today.
Yeah.
You know. But that's how I was able to get so many rebounds, and it was called The Beast. Yeah.
Really?
I was very ferocious on the boards.
Really?
Yeah.
So you was like Oakley?
Kind of, yeah, if you want to put it on.
So what was your stats like? Like, you averaging 20 or you were
I
like
had
a,
like, you like, was like 15, a 10,
15,
15 points.
15 rebounds.
But I had 10, 15 rebounds.
Oh, so you was a double-double machine.
Yeah, most of the time, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
6'2".
In my next segment, if I'm invited back, I have a book with all those clippings and articles, not just on me, but just on the basketball presence back then, you know, so you guys can see what it was like.
So, who was, like, some of the guys that's most memorable to you that you would go up against, like, you know, playing in your time?
One of the guys that I was fearful of going up against was Mel Davis.
Mel Davis.
From Boys High, well, back then it was just Boys High School. Today it's Boys and Girls.
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
Okay.
And
what position was he?
He was a center.
Oh, he's a center.
Yeah, because
okay.
He was 6'7". He was like the brother that used to play for Baltimore many years ago. Wes Unseld.
Wes Unseld, okay.
He was like, what's up?
Wes Unseld type, okay.
But I had to get my way of how to play him,
uh-huh.
You know, because I, like I said, I wasn't a jumper,
uh-huh.
But I was able to, you know, to box him out and get what I had.
So when did you go against him? During the high school or just during?
Just doing high school. All this was done during high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So y'all, you was at Springfield.
Springfield.
And then y'all was having games against
Interleague.
Interleague, right.
We played them, and we played Thomas Jefferson, Wingate.
Okay.
Was another school.
Wingate High School.
Wingate High School.
Zab Judah went to Wingate.
The boy from Thomas Jefferson back then, he went on to star at Rutgers. I can't think of his name.
Okay.
Light-skinned brother. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But he was the man back then at Thomas Jefferson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was just interleague play.
Okay.
You know, it didn't count against the standings.
Okay. Okay.
So what are your thoughts about, like, when you, did you ever play at Rutgers Park?
I didn't play, but I was up there.
Oh, yeah.
I went up there a lot.
Oh, so you used to go up there too and check it out?
Yeah, we used to go up there all the time. Because you'd always hear about Pee Wee Kirkland, Joe Hammond, Herman Helicopter. I always wanted to see those guys, you know. But it was fascinating to see, because you try to pick something that you saw, that you like, that you can apply to yourself, to your game.
Gotcha.
You know?
Okay.
Gotcha. And those who didn't have that skill set to play up in there, that's what they did. They went there, saw what they liked, and came back, and they would go home and, you know, try to work on it. Yeah.
So who, out of your time, like, watching streetball guys, and I assume you played in a few streetball tournaments.
Yeah, we did.
Like, who were some of the most outstanding players that you've ever seen? play?
I have to go with the guys that came up with me. Dave Edwards.
Senior.
Senior.
Wow.
Buddy Robinson.
Buddy Robinson.
His nickname is well, Buddy is the nickname. His name is Howard Robinson.
Howard Robinson.
That's Butch Grant.
Butch Grant.
See, all these brothers came from 40 Projects.
Really? And that's what we were trying to get from Smalls. Like, who came out of 40?
Yeah,
like,
Joe Phipps.
Joe Phipps?
Yeah.
The names.
Yeah,
yeah,
Joe.
Y'all got those names down
there. He went to Newtown.
Newtown.
He was a big brother, too.
Oh,
he
yeah?
was hard to get around, but I was able to do that.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Really?
So those were more of the Southside players at the time, or just they just.
They're from, they go America to the left, or where the. Where,
that's
where,
yeah, that's Southside. Yeah, Southside. Yeah, Southside. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You ever remember a brother named Ricky Marsh?
Ricky Marsh
went to Jamaica High School.
Really?
Yeah, he got drafted by, and that was the way. He came 1 or 2 years behind us.
Really?
He got drafted by the Golden State Warriors.
Really? Ricky Marsh?
Ricky
wow.
Marsh.
Wow. From Queens.
From Queens, yeah.
Wow.
Calvin Bruton. Brother that played. He went on to coach the Australian team.
Really?
For many years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are the guys that I played up with.
All of these people, man, I never knew, like, in the community that really was making noise.
Yeah,
like that,
Michael Kennedy.
Pee Wee Daniels.
So those are boys that came from 15 Park.
Okay.
Lou Daniels.
Yeah, Smalls was mentioning a lot of the, a lot of what slowed a lot of the other guys down in the community was, like, the heroin.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing.
That was a very, very big thing.
Really?
You know. And that it got into the community and it got to the boys that should have been a lot better than, you know, than what they signed themselves by getting involved with the drugs.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
And there was plenty of it out there.
Yeah.
You know, their mindset was Joe had it, Mo had it, so they just assimilated everybody else, so they got hooked up in there like that. You know,
so that's how
it was sad to see that.
So it was like a recreational type of thing for people, but then they just ended up getting strung out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
like,
big time.
So it's like how these kids nowadays use weed and pot. Like, it was just something to do.
Yeah.
So it was back then, it was heroin.
Heroin, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, but the trick is, you get caught on it.
That's
may be your mindset as a recreational, but if you keep doing it long enough, you end up getting hooked on it.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
And the police in our communities back then, I mean, they were strong, good people, but the communities were saturated with heroin.
Yeah. Let's switch gears a little bit. Like, you come from that era where, you know, the Luau Senders and, I mean, Oscar Robinsons and
Bob Cousy was from
all those guys.
Cambria Heights.
Exactly.
Muhammad Jackson.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, he mentioned
Was
Bob
he
Cousy.
Really that good? Or he, like, I know
well,
he
for
was
his
assist,
era,
man. He was an assistant.
Yeah, but for his era, when people say was so-and-so that good, for that era, you know, if you try to place him in another era, he may not be as successful, but for his time, he was very, very good.
Wow, okay.
Very good.
He was from the community?
He was from Cambria Heights. I don't know what state. But yeah, he was from the community.
Bob Cousy.
Yeah.
Wow, Bob Cousy.
Yeah.
He grew up in St. Albans. And at that time, was it a mixed community or was it predominantly black?
It was predominantly white back then. Yeah.
Oh.
It was always Jewish.
In Cambria.
Cambria Heights was predominantly Jewish.
Mm.
And now, if you see the flow, the influx of them coming back.
Yeah.
Because they believe that
the rabbi
is coming back eventually. So they bought up quite a few homes. Along 121st Avenue.
Yeah, they definitely bought up almost the whole strip.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they bought up just about that whole strip.
Yeah.
So after Springfield, are you like recruited to college?
I went to Westchester Community College.
Westchester Community College.
Yeah.
Okay.
I played ball there. And then I went to York, but I didn't play. I just went there for schooling.
Got you.
The beast.
Nah. But just to switch gears a little bit, like my point I was trying to make before, I was like, you came up in the era where you had a lot of prominent athletes that were also activists,
right.
Civil rights activists, like, you know, and it was cross, like they would all cross with each other. Like, you'll have Jim Brown on one end of the table, you have Muhammad Ali in the middle,
right.
Then you'll have Luau Cinder at the other end, right. Oscar Robertson, like, these guys stood up for, like, civil rights.
Right.
Like, when you see things about, like, what's happening with the Colin Kaepernick situation, like, how do you view that situation?
I think it's unfortunate that he's in that situation that he's in. How they should have looked at it was that's that man's stance. That's how he feels.
Yeah.
And for us to come along and try and tear it up, I think it's wrong. And yeah. they should look at it that this is the way this man's... I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
What he did is what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just... The reason why I brought that up is just to show the difference between today's athletes. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these athletes, like... Well, LeBron, to a degree, he steps up and says what he has to say, but not enough of them are coming together. Like, what's happening with Colin Kaepernick, to me, is sad because, you know... He did nothing wrong. It was a nonviolent protest. And right now, he can't even get a job. And none of the players are stepping up to his defense. And that's why I kind of brought that up, because you could see pictures from back in the days. Oscar Robertson, Muhammad Ali, you know, Lou Alcindor, Jim Brown. They're all sitting together, coming around the issue. Nowadays, it's not like that.
You
know, it's sad.
You think, on the other hand, you think it's like a talent wise issue, because Kaepernick had a bad couple of so-so seasons.
No.
And just imagine if he had a different caliber, he's a different caliber player or more of a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Do you think they still would have reached out for him to give him a contract if he's going through this, what he's going through?
I think that it would have probably made a difference, but he's definitely better than a lot of these backup quarterbacks that they have on teams now.
That's true. Definitely.
By far.
Yeah, that's what's being said, that he is a lot better than his backup.
Come on.
But also, another point they brought out is the fact that, you know, you got the guys in there that have done far more serious crime, and they're still in the league playing. Uh-huh. And what he did was just something that he stood for, and he can't get back up and play what he wants to play.
Yeah, man. You know, I have an issue with that, man.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad. You know, another thing is like they target Odell Beckham Jr. You know, because he's a young, talented, to me, African American athlete, and they don't like when you're loud and boisterous, but on the other end, you got guys like Rob Gronkowski, who's a wild party animal.
Wild party animal.
But they just look at him like he's just a goofball. But if you're a young black man doing that, oh, he has a problem.
Yeah,
he likes
issues.
To party too much. He has issues.
He needs
to tone it down. You know, it's just those type of double standards in sports right now that, you know, athletes back in the time that you came up, you know, in New York and just in sports in general, athletes will stand up for it and be like, yo, we're not taking this.
No,
man.
We're not. And we need more of the Alcindors and the Jim Browns, you know, to get together and maintain that so that we can have somebody to go through and express how we feel and also bring it to the news media.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that will get something and they'll twist it to make us look bad.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have that stopped.
Yeah.
All the time.
So getting back to Park basketball, like in this area in St. Albans, like 15 Park. How often did you play in 15 with those guys?
We played almost every day.
Really?
Almost every day. See, we ate and slept basketball.
Okay.
You know, we didn't have video games.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have those other things that kept us from going to the park.
Okay.
You know, especially when you're out for summer. You know, we'll call up and say, look, we're going to be at 30 Park or we're going to be at Springfield Park. You know, we go there and we'll stay there all day. Or we may go over to O'Connor Park. You know.
O'Connor.
So back then, we didn't have no side tracks. You know, we went out and played ball or baseball or whatever it was.
Baseball too.
But today, what I'm seeing is a lot of these kids got these video games and it's taking them away from that mindset, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can be a lot better if they devote more time to playing whatever sport that they want to play.
Yes, indeed.
Than to spend more time on those video games, because you're not really, what are you learning?
Yeah, nothing.
You know, I watch some of my grandkids, and the types of games that they used to play because we stepped in was the killings, you know. And sometimes that carries over.
Yeah.
What is that saying, art imitating life or life imitating art?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you do what you're actually seeing yourself doing, you know, in real life.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we need to get those kids away from that.
Got you.
Yeah.
So was it true, like, in 15... it was like a rite of passage, like you had to be on those small courts.
Well, you know what?
You used to the big courts.
You started there, you know,
okay.
Because you were too afraid to to go over there. You know, nobody was going to say, hey, you can come on over.
Yeah.
You have to come over there with something.
Gotcha.
You know, you can't come over there and say, I want to play. No.
So that is true, man.
Yeah. No, you stayed on the side court, and the side court was way away from the main court.
Yeah.
You know, so when you over there playing against the fence that's near 190th Street, you over there, they look at, oh, they can't do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so then you have to come over there. You know, sometimes the guys would be very meek. They tiptoe over and try to get a game. You know, they see you coming. Oh, no, Billy, you can't do this. You can't do that. Unfortunately.
Try to sneak over and get in. Like,
yeah.
who got next?
And it was okay. Yeah, right. Who has next? But it was okay. You know, you didn't. I mean, you took it to heart.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you say, okay, I got to do this to get better to play over there.
Gotcha.
And that's what some of the kids did. I did.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't walk in 15 parkers. And went over there and played with the big boys.
Yeah,
I had to earn the right to get on over there.
So was it true that you couldn't even shoot when you got on the court?
You know what happened? When you got on that court, the guys were so much better than you.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it wasn't that you couldn't shoot. Uh-huh. They just made sure that you didn't shoot. You know, with defense. You know? And see, we were serious at how we would take it.
Uh-huh.
But to them, mm-hmm. it was a teaching tool. Mm-hmm. You know, but we just didn't see it like that, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what? It wasn't no hassle. Mm-hmm. They wasn't knocking you down. You know, they know that you had to do something right to come over there and play with them.
Gotcha.
Because they didn't want their games weak.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
They didn't want to have to carry you.
Yeah, steel sharpened steel. Yeah. Gotcha. You're only strong as your weakest link.
There it is.
I got you.
So they didn't want to have that, but it was all in fun, though.
Yeah.
You know, nobody got hurt, nobody got mad. You knew what you had to do to get over there, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, that court was so far away from, you know, the distances when you're a pitcher and you're in the dugout, not the dugout, but you're in the holding pen.
Yeah.
And when they call you,
bullpen,
you got to do that long walk over to the pitching mat.
That's how 15 is.
Yeah, thank you. You know,
they got like beast. Come on.
Yeah. You know, and you have to, and you know what, when you're playing on that side, your ears open.
Yeah.
You know, for them to call you and say, you know, Joe or John or Jim, you know, come on over.
Yeah.
You're playing your game over there, but you're also listening to see if somebody going to call you to come and play.
Wow.
So, no, that was legit.
That was legit.
Yeah.
He definitely said you couldn't come over there. You got on. They make sure you pass the ball. You don't shoot.
So what's the most real tournaments at that time?
Yeah.
You said fellow and what about?
It was the Quartzman was the like the AAU, but it was the Quartzman back then. And Springfield Park was the park back then to go to in Queens, Springfield.
Park?
And then you had O'Connor Park.
Okay.
You know, if you went and played at O'Connor, you played.
Okay.
But Montebello, you had everybody from all the boroughs coming there.
So Montebello was like West 4th or Rucker Park.
West 4th, though. When you went to West 4th, I mean, you had to play to stay.
Gotcha.
Because once you lost, there were so many people out there to play, you didn't get to get back
on. Oh, you're just talking about regular pickup games.
Yeah, regular pickup
games. Okay.
Tournaments, they had good tournaments down there also, but we stayed in Queens. Like we went down to Westport, but we didn't go down there that often because it was too far to travel.
Okay.
You know? But Montebello was the park that back then that everybody went to.
So was it true that Joe Hammond came out here a few times and played? Did you ever see Joe out here?
I see Joe all the time.
Really?
All the time.
Frequently come from Queens?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, he was out here quite often. And then we would see him up in the Rucker. We'd see him over at O'Connor. He'd come over there also.
And play?
Yeah, just play.
Wow.
I don't know if Small told you the story about him coming up to Rucker and it was halftime.
No.
And he came out of a car. And he got 50 from halftime.
He had 50 and a half?
50 at the end of the game because he came and played at the halftime.
Against just a regular team?
It was just a regular team. It wasn't nobody, you know, of significance back then, you know, when he came over there.
Because I remember hearing a rumor about, you know, him doing that to Dr. J, like giving Dr. J the business.
You know, a lot of games I didn't see, but you hear about it.
Okay.
You know, and it was enough to hear because nobody's going to walk around and make up something that didn't happen.
Wow.
You know, so.
So that was kind of true then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you saw a lot of things when you went up to, you didn't know what to expect, but you knew you were going to get a game. You could see somebody was going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to get dunked on. Somebody's going to get rainbowed on.
Okay.
You know, so
okay.
It was like that. But then a lot of times you get up there, you couldn't even get close to the cage.
Really?
You know, because to be that many people up there, just yeah. to see, you know,
right.
who's
you
up
know,
there.
What it was set, people sitting in the trees.
Trees, on yeah. climbing up on the fence there,
yeah.
Standing on top of trucks. You know, but no, I mean that was
on trucks. People on people's trucks, yeah, like box yeah. trucks, or
the pickup trucks.
Oh, pickup trucks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like they call them the F-10s today.
Okay, okay, yeah. okay. Like the Dodge, yeah, the big Dodge.
Dodge. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Dodge Rams.
Yeah. People stand in the cabin part of it, the trailer part.
Mm.
Yeah. So if somebody was to ask me, I would have to say, you know, the Bucket was one of the baddest.
That was the best
place to go. Yeah, in the city. Yeah.
What about like places in the Bronx and stuff like
we
that?
We didn't venture too much in the Bronx.
Okay.
It wasn't really anything up there for us to go to
really?
Play. You know,
oh,
you know, okay. I don't even know what's up in the Bronx.
Okay, okay. So the Bronx wasn't happening
no.
like that for basketball.
No, not for basketball.
So it was really Brooklyn, Harlem,
Brooklyn,
and Queens.
Queens, and part of Manhattan, like the West 4th. That was
okay,
the
West 4th.
And Rucker, yeah.
Okay.
We didn't even go to Staten Island because there was nothing over there.
Nothing to Staten Island.
Yeah.
What about Long Island?
They had one park out there that Julius Erving used to go
Centennial
to.
Centennial Park.
Yeah, Centennial. Yeah.
Oh.
And but you know what? It wasn't the type of ball plays out there that you saw here in Queens or in Manhattan or
okay.
you know West 4th Street. Julius Erving and some of the neighborhood kids there, but Julius was always the main attraction. As to why people came down to Centennial.
Did he ever come to Queens and play?
Yeah, he came down to O'Connor Park a lot.
Really?
He was down there. Frank Judge and Julius almost came to blows. See, Julius Erving had a way of embarrassing you, but not like really showing up. I mean, he just did a shot that it was him just doing what he normally does, but it wasn't an embarrassment. So, you know, like he wouldn't do it on purpose, so he wasn't that kind of.
He was a passive aggressive guy.
Yeah, he was. He did his stuff quietly. You know.
But he didn't mind dunking on me.
No, he didn't mind. He had the opportunity.
So that's what we're talking about, man.
Wow,
nobody
man.
Minded, you know, dunking on somebody. You know.
Wow,
but
man.
I know there was a lot of, you know, near fights because of it, you know.
Really? He caught a helmet and ready to fight now.
But
like.
You know what, too? And they didn't put it out there. They didn't put it on blast because they wanted people to come.
Gotcha.
And watch the game. So they,
gotcha.
If something happened, you didn't hear about it or it was downplayed.
Wow, man. That's crazy, man. So outside of you know, Julius Erving and those guys, did you ever see like Walt Clyde or any of them play in the streets?
We didn't see them play, but when we went up to Rucker, they would be out there.
They'd
just be there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I say be there, they're dressed.
Oh, okay.
You know, Clyde never went anywhere without being silenced. You know, you know him, Dick Barnett. Always travel a lot too. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to see somebody, that's the place to go to.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Wow, man. Polo Grounds, man. Polo Grounds is always a place.
Clyde always came dressed.
And
even
Rose
some of the yeah, Rose places.
Really?
And he used to have some of the nicest looking women too.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny, man. One of my coworkers, man, his grandma's sister used to date Clyde. yeah, man. Yep. She told us stories back in the days about it, man. We used to crack up. He's like, well, Clyde. The dude with the cowhide jacket on, like him? Yeah, Clyde was bad, you know. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, Clyde did his own thing.
He's very smooth, man.
Yeah
very
good
smooth.
Dressing,
yeah.
Good dressing.
And you know what's cool?
To today, he still look neat with them ties, looking real cool.
Apparently, he hung out in Brownsville a lot.
And guys like him, no trouble follows that.
No trouble?
He's never gotten in any kind of trouble. You know, like you hear ball plays doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Clyde was never like that. He maintained his
smoothness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So guys like Pee Wee Kirkland now. Like, what are your memories of Pee Wee?
Just playing up in the record. But you know what? He was so smooth too.
Mm-hmm.
But his stuff was out there. Clyde was kind of laid back. Mm-hmm. You know, he did what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
But him, Joe Hammond, They came down, they shot jump shots on you, or they dunked on you. But those kind of guys, you just enjoy watching. You know, they did what they had to do, but you enjoy watching them do it. You know, but you always heard a lot about them.
And what year was it you made the all city team, right?
In 70. 70? My senior year.
Nice, man. Nice. Who else was like some of your teammates that was standouts like out in Queens?
Doug McMillan.
So it was you and McMillan.
Doug and we had a guy named Dale Davis.
Okay.
Dale lives off of 178th Street. And Leslie Road.
Okay.
He grew up over there.
Okay. Are they still around?
They're still around. Yeah. See, Doug, I told you, grew up down on 93rd and 119th.
Yeah, that's
where he grew up over there.
I'm not familiar with him, man.
He's been gone for some years. Okay. Yeah, he's out in Union now.
Okay. Man, that's what's been happening, man.
I had a good friend, too, that played ball with us named Chucky Wilkins.
Chucky Wilkins?
Yeah, Chucky grew up on 177th Street up on 20th Avenue. Mm. He was a forward. He was a big guy. We used to call him Indian because he had that Indian hair.
Yeah.
And he was good for shooting jump shots.
Okay.
Another boy named Vincent Perry.
Vincent Perry?
We used to call him TikTok.
I think that this one was missing him. Vincent Perry.
He should have.
I think TikTok. Now you say he did.
What happened was when the coach was talking to him, because he was very tall, but he was thin. Uh-huh. And he's standing there doing this while the coach is talking to him. Uh-huh. So that's how he got to the name TikTok.
man.
But that was a good era, though, for playing ball.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't have a lot of skirmishes. You know, you win. You shake your hands and you kept it moving. Uh-huh. You know, I had a time to go back in my life, it would be that time.
Nice.
So you would go right back to that same era?
I would go back to that same era. You know, in comparison to what's out there today. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know?
Mm-hmm. That means you would put the Converses back on.
Yeah, I would. That's all we had.
It's like Taylor?
But you know what? It's so crazy, like how these injuries is plaguing these athletes with the Achilles.
Right.
And even with the time when I played, you know, in the 80s, I didn't really hear too much of somebody suffering from Achilles heel.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
Really?
No, you don't hear too much Achilles back in the 80s. I didn't hear.
No. No.
Achilles heel injury, I never heard of that. No, you know what I mean?
Really?
You would have a twisted ankle.
Yeah,
that was it. You know what I mean? That was it.
So why is that?
And there was no support in those things either, you know.
And there was no support. Yeah, you're right.
But you're talking about the Uptown, the Converse.
Right? Yeah, Converse. That's all we wore.
Right. That's all they wore, right?
Yeah, so.
That's crazy. So you never really heard of Achilles heel?
No, I never really heard of that.
So that's interesting, man, because that means it must be the shoes or whatever sports medicine they're giving these players now
is
breaking their bodies down. It has to be something along those lines. Because that's all you hear now is meniscus and Achilles heel injuries and, you know, all of these stuff. That's interesting that you never heard of that back then.
Yeah, I never heard of
it. And also, like the sneakers today are much heavier.
Yeah.
Much, much heavier today than they are when we were wearing the Chuck Taylors back then. You know, it was just a flap almost, no support.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that you did say that. Though.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, Achilles heel.
No injuries.
I never heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, no meniscus tears. We didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
You
know?
That's interesting, man. That's very interesting, man.
Well, I have to do a research.
That's crazy.
Yeah. These players are getting these type of injuries.
Nowadays, what is it?
Yeah.
So we wore the Chuck Taylor high tops for the ankle support. But when you think about it, there was no support.
There was none.
There was nothing there.
It just was tight.
Yeah.
But what we
used
tight.
To do too, I used to wear the ace bandage, the kind that you slide in. I used to wear those, you know.
Okay.
But other than that.
That was under the sneakers.
Under the sock.
Under the sock.
You put the sock on over that. Nice. But that was it.
Nice. So, being that you know, the era that you came from, we've seen a lot of great players, you know, come through and do what they're doing. Out of all the players that you've seen in your lifetime, where would you rank a player like LeBron James?
In out of all,
to everybody that you've seen and you've played against, like, where would you rank his skill set and his level of what they call
greatness?
Would
he be able to hang out with you guys in the 70s? I
think he would if he had the same body.
Okay.
See, boys were big back then, and they were very, very muscular.
Yeah.
He would fit in.
Okay.
If for no other reason.
Okay.
But he does have the skill set. And I think he would be able to hold his own back then. Because remember, he was 6'8", 6'9".
6'8".
6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
You know, and he has, what, very little body fat.
Yeah, and his athleticism.
Athleticism is out of check.
Yeah, LeBron, he would have been a center, huh?
Yeah, he definitely would have been a center.
Yeah, in my era, yes, he would be a center.
Yeah.
You know, he would dominate, too.
Yeah.
He would definitely dominate. I would also put Kyrie Irving.
Oh, that's my guy right there.
In my era. You know, he would definitely hold his own.
Wow. Like, you don't hear too many people mention Kyrie. Like, and for you to give it up to Kyrie, that must mean Kyrie is a problem.
Yeah, he's, I would have to. I have a lot of respect for Kyrie. And to play behind somebody like LeBron. Now, he wants his own team. He wants his own team. I don't blame him because, I think his skill set. It's just up there too with LeBron.
So he has the type of talent to carry a team, you believe?
I think so. I think so.
Like do the same thing like the Westbrook would do, or like you know how Westbrook.
I don't see him as being as kamikaze as Westbrook is.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a little more skillful.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I see Westbrook playing out of control.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And but with Kyrie, he knows what he has to do.
And he's effortless.
Thank you.
He's effortless. Like he gets to the hole so effortless and easy. It's like he's on skates. It's like it's like Rod Strickland 2.0.
Yeah, Rod Strickland, right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
I respect Kyrie's game, man. You know, people's like, oh, he's a shoot first guard. And when he first came into the league, a lot of people don't realize, man, he was a 18-year-old kid that played 11 college games.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was 11. It was probably 8, anywhere between 8 to 11 games in college and got injured. Came into the NBA fresh off of LeBron leaving Cleveland, and everybody expecting him to be the savior right away. That wasn't going to happen.
That was a lot of stress they put on him unnecessarily.
Yeah. And he's a point guard. Right. Like, point guard ain't just coming in and just dominating out the gates.
No. Yeah, he somewhere held his own that year.
Yeah, he did. And you have to,
People don't give him his credit, man. He's the reason why LeBron won that championship last year. I mean, LeBron played out of his mind, but he needed Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie hit some big shots for him and carried the team.
Yeah.
And he was scoring effortlessly, man, effortlessly. I hope the Knicks can make it happen.
Oh, man.
Well, I do, too, because with him and you pair him with that boy,
Porzingis.
I think they have something to go on, I would want another big man up in there, too, because they're going to need a rebound. I don't know who's there to rebound. Oh, Hernandez, but I don't see, he doesn't grab enough rebounds for me.
You know, Hernan Gomez?
Yeah, I don't think so.
When he gets the playing time, he does.
Yeah.
He had a lot of double doubles. He actually made the all-rookie first team.
Yeah, you're right.
He made the all-rookie first team. So he would definitely grab his share of rebounds when he got the playing time. And I just read something like while we were talking earlier, Joakim Noah's talking about he might retire if he doesn't win the starting spot this year. So that's a good thing. I hope he does retire.
Oh, yes.
If he retires, then that's money that the Knicks can get back and use that towards somebody else.
That was unnecessary stress he put on himself.
Yeah.
What he needed to do was come back and see how he can fit in.
Yeah.
Then to put that on him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's true. So before we wrap it up, I just want to get your takes. Like, we just spoke about LeBron. We spoke about Kyrie. What's your take on Carmelo Anthony? Like, what type of ball player do you view Carmelo Anthony as? I always like to hear people's opinion on Carmelo.
You know, when he was in Denver, he did a lot of his shooting because they had nobody there but him to shoot. So when he came to the Knicks, he still came with that mentality, but they didn't have anybody to swing with him.
Exactly.
And I think that's the same thing that happened when they had Ewing there.
Yeah.
Had they kept Bernard King there with Ewing, Bernard would have toughened up.
Patrick. Yeah.
You know, but he didn't. They cut him loose.
Yeah.
Okay, with Carmelo, he needs to have somebody with him. I don't think he can carry a team the same way that LeBron does.
No.
So he needs to have somebody there.
He needs a dominant point guard.
He does.
Dominant point guard.
But I don't know if cutting him loose, I mean, what purpose is that going to serve?
Nah, nothing. Doesn't do us any favors. You know, it just favors everybody else. Cutting them loose, giving them to somebody for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go and make a team better. You know, why not keep him?
I think what Phil Jackson did, the way he handled it, the way he spoke down to him, was a very wrong thing to do.
I hate Phil Jackson.
Yeah, for that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I hate him for that, man. That was, like, one of the worst things he could have ever did. But before we go, you just mentioned somebody, and I meant to ask you about him. earlier, Bernard King.
Bernard King, yeah.
And Albert King. Did you ever see those guys in person? Did you ever
I saw Albert, them? not Bernard. I only saw Bernard play when he was at when he was playing for the Knicks, and we went to the game to see. Okay. But outside in the playground, no, I didn't get to see Bernard play.
You saw Albert.
Albert, we saw. Oh, okay. Yeah. Albert was playing with the Nets at that time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Was he really that good?
He wasn't as good as Bernard, though. Really? But I mean, he was able to hold his own. I think he had a decent game. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, he did.
I never seen him play.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
When I was growing up, I saw Albert King play. Yeah, he was just like an average small forward, yeah. But he would hit the shots, yeah. And he would go off.
It was nothing
spectacular.
He wasn't
phenomenal, but it wasn't.
So he just carried the name, but they both made it to the NBA.
Yeah, of course, because he was with the Nets at that time.
Right, he was with the Nets.
And Bernard was with the Knicks. So it was like a package deal. We got one, we had to bring the other along.
Yeah, that's true.
But how you mentioned the time when Bernard King and Ewing at the time, because remember, it was different eras.
Right.
Not a different era, but when Ewing got drafted in '85, that's when Bernard was hurt.
He was hurt, right.
The Knicks actually waited for him. Mm-hmm. We waited for him for like a whole nother year.
Oh.
Like 80, but Bernard King.
Oh, really? They waited?
We waited about a whole year. Wait for his injury. You know, he had a serious injury.
Oh, coming into the league?
He played a couple years.
Okay. 82-83, he was our leading scorer. And then when we drafted Ewing, Bernard King was hurt. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we never got a chance to see them both on the court.
That's right. That's like Allen Houston and Stephon Marbury.
When he came back, he wasn't at his same form.
Yeah.
It took him time to develop.
That's what it was.
And then we just lost the patience and got rid of him. That's when we sent him to the Washington.
Washington Bullets.
He killed us one day.
The one thing I respected about Bernard, he had what they call a game face. Mm-hmm. He was able to turn it on and turn it off. And when he did that, I mean, you saw the demeanor in him.
Yeah.
You know, I would want to guard him.
Wow.
You know, that's how he changed.
Yes.
You know.
And he had the quickest turnaround shot.
Yes.
I still, to this day, never seen nobody shoot that ball quick.
Yeah.
And you knew what he was going to do. He would back you in, and then that quick 15-footer turnaround, that joint was waters, man.
Wow.
And he's coming down that left side of the court. On a fast break, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's coming
good
to
old
with
days
that.
When I was coming up, man. I had to watch him, but and that's how he actually turned his knee coming on that baseline towards Jordan real bad.
See, back then when they played defense, nobody was coming down the middle.
Yeah.
If you take note that that's what they do today, they come down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The hand checking is no longer. I mean, you use that to impede somebody's ability to go to the basket, but today you can't touch anybody.
Wow, man.
That came a part of the game. How players are getting over now.
Exactly.
You can't touch them. You know, that's why when you try to compare Curry and all these guys, they couldn't have played in them days of 90s.
Physicality.
You know, bad boy days. And you know how it went.
Even Jordan, the Jordan rule,
Jordan had to learn. He had to get bigger and everything.
But the fact that
Mr. Coleman mentioned, man, Kyrie can play in that era, man, that's a big compliment, man.
Yeah.
That means hand checking and all.
Yeah.
With his handle, I guess he can just get around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's big, man. I like Kyrie, man. I love Kyrie.
So in your days, too, who had, like, one of the best handles you ever seen?
In my era, I would have to go with Dave Edwards. Buddy Robinson, another one. That's from my age. But then you go 2 or 3 years older. I always like Mike Kennedy. Pee-wee Daniels.
Pee-wee Daniels.
Right.
And there's one more. Herman Robinson, which is the brother to Howard Robinson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen anybody come down on a fast break.
Uh-huh.
And Howard would just throw the ball behind his back.
Wow.
Going. You know, still going.
So what would you rate a guy like Tiny Archibald when you saw him play?
I have to say Tiny Archibald was the man. I have to put him right up there with the older boys I just mentioned, Robinson's brother and Mike Kennedy.
Mm.
Yeah, he was very, very quick. We saw him play a couple of times when he came to the Garden.
Okay.
You know, he was very, very good.
Okay. What about Lloyd Sweepy Daniels? You ever watched him play?
Yeah, we watched him a couple of times coming up. Monty Bello.
Okay.
you know, you guys familiar with Ajax?
Yeah, I just about to mention Ajax. Yeah.
Ajax was, they had their boys over there also. They didn't have them like what we had coming out of St. Albans and Jamaica. But they had their own share of good ball players also.
The only one I knew from Ajax when I was coming up, because when I was like 18, 19, and they started Unlimited, and he would still be playing Unlimited with us, was a guy by the name of Kevin Young. Kev Young. He's on that list that you sent me, too.
Okay, okay.
That,
for, so I was, I'm not familiar ISA, with the name.
Yeah, Kev Young. Left-handed guy. I don't know what school he went to, but he was like in his 50s playing Unlimited when I was like 19,
oh, really?
20. Yeah, Kev Young was a lot older than a lot of the guys he was playing against, like Boo Harvey and all those guys.
Yeah, Boo's another one that I played with. Yes,
Boo Harvey.
Yes, yes,
oh, yeah? Boo Harvey? Yeah.
When he was at Jackson.
Yeah, man. So,
But you were much older at that time when Boo was
there, right? when Boo and Larry Fitz Walker.
Larry Fitz Walker, I never
heard. Light-skinned boy, he was about 6. Well, back then he was big. He was about 6'4", 6'5". Okay. See, I'm saying 6'4", 6'5", but that's nothing today.
That's a guard, point guard today.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a point guard today.
Back then it was, you were tall. You were center,
Wow,
yeah, they had you playing center at 6'2".
And that's how I ended up playing with my, gotten used to playing with my back to the basket.
So you, outside jump shots at all.
No.
A bruiser.
And I used to, the guys used to ride on my back.
Wow.
But you learn how to keep them off. Yeah. I mean, you want them there so you know where they are, but you also got to know how to keep them off you.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
You use your bows.
Yes, indeed.
A lot. And you do it, you know, on the down low.
Down low.
You
gotta be slick.
You have to be slick.
Oh, you do that
today and you get caught.
Yeah,
because now they got 3 referees out there, or 2, whatever. Back then it was just 1.
You keep him at an angle, he ain't gonna see everything.
Yeah. You put him in the angle.
Yeah, we gotta get you here with Smalls.
Yeah, I like to be here with Smalls too.
And really going a lot deeper with a lot of things, man. But Mr. Coleman, man, I appreciate you coming out, man, and taking the time out of your busy schedule to even kick it with me, man.
That's okay.
You know what I mean? My man, True Legend Tone. We're going to get to his story. We got to get to his story with it. He got a lot of stories,
amazing,
man.
To hear these guys first, man.
It
starts with you guys, man. That's why we so much want to honor you guys. And it's not often talked about, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
especially when it comes to hearing Queens and the type of ball players that grew up here.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we're so interested on knowing all this about what happened in our own neighborhood, our own backyard. You know what I mean?
Right,
we never heard of the Beast.
I did.
Beast.
Yeah. Telling you, when I heard it, I'm like, he said, Billy Coleman, down by the trestle. I said, hold on. I only know one set of Colemans over there, man. That's my man. I think that's my man, father.
Right.
I tell you guys, I enjoy being here,
man.
And to be spoken of in the way that you guys have spoken to me, I appreciate that.
Man, it's always good, like he said, to get the jewels from people before us, man. And I'm honored to have you here, man.
Yeah.
You know, like when I met you, you know, we didn't even talk about
your
day of playing basketball. We just was talking about everything else. But when I heard it, I was amazed. I was like, yeah, we gotta get the beast up here.
You met before, but he never mentioned nothing about it.
And
you guys keep it on the low, like, all right. I don't even mention it, like, oh man.
He was at my house at a barbecue and he was sitting up on the porch, and it was later that Troy, my son, he and my son went to school together.
Yep,
they went to Jamaica.
Well,
so that's how I met you.
Okay. And we didn't talk nothing about basketball back in the days, anything. Wise came, we just was kicking it, talking just real life stuff, man.
Right.
And then when Smalls mentioned everything, he started talking about people. I was like, what? Hold on, man.
Right.
Let me call my man, find out. And I said, I had to get you here.
Yeah, this Smalls knew a lot of people.
Yeah, Smalls knew a lot of people.
Yeah, Smalls always talked.
But Smalls wasn't a player. Was he playing? Was he on that court at that time? Because he never really mentioned, like, no. But I'm going to leave that to when y'all two get here. You know what I mean?
Smalls played.
Okay.
With everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy playing against him also. He's from Jackson.
Yeah.
And most of the guys on that side of town went to Jackson.
Yeah.
Most of the guys
Everybody went to the zone school.
Zone school. That's what it was. Now you can go anywhere you want to go.
That's true.
And if you're a good ball player, they'll come and watch you in junior high school.
That's a fact.
And you know how that goes, how they get you to come to a school out of your district.
Right, right.
You know, unless you apply for a variance.
Yes, indeed.
If you don't get in the variance, you're not supposed to be able to go to one of those
schools. You said the most dominant schools at that time was Springfield,
I forgot to mention Far Rockaway.
Far Rockaway.
Bosco Pearson.
Bosco Pearson. Look at the names. Bosco Pearson.
Yeah, like, I was told D, I said he had mid-sized hands.
Mm-hmm.
That if he was able to jump and be able to palm the ball at the same time, he would have been another Julius Erving.
Wow. You now mentioned
hands covered the ball.
Was that the one that you mentioned that was snatching quarters off the?
No, that was Herbie Lawkins.
Herbie
Lawkins went to Richmond Hill High School.
Uh-huh.
And what cut his career short quickly, he used to be able to take quarters off the backboard. Because all you heard about was Bob Beamon doing that.
And Earl Manigo.
From Rucker, right?
Yeah.
It's where Herbie Lawkins from Richmond Hill High School went up for a rebound. And he was submarine.
Oof.
And when he fell, he came down on his neck.
And he was
a quadriplegic.
On the basketball court.
Chipper Dublin. Went to play down in, he played with Pembroke Burroughs and Artis Gilmore. Okay, and then Ollie Taylor was their big backcourt.
Okay.
Back in the day at Richmond Hill. And then you had Herbie Lawkins.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. It was really sad, though, because he could have been another one of those top-notch players from his era.
So this happened in a street ball game?
No, it was a regular PSAL game.
You got undercut by somebody. Oh.
See, another tough school that didn't do that well was Franklin K. Lane High School.
Franklin Lane.
They played hard.
Yeah.
They didn't have finesse, but they played hard ball.
Okay. You
know? But they didn't make it up to the upper echelon.
They always been mentioned. Even when I was in high school, they were known for football when I was coming up, man. Mm-hmm. They had this one kid, his name was Frankie Lane.
Okay.
He was from Coney Island.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But the rumor back then was like, Frankie Sinclair, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He couldn't read, but he could play football,
But
they didn't really have too much basketball players like when I was coming up.
What school was this in?
Frankie Lane.
Frankie Lane.
New York City, man.
The Beast.
The Beast is in the building.
On the town,
the Beast is loose.
Again, I have to tell you guys, thank you for bringing it out. It's a pleasure. I'm gonna come through again because just to be talking, we can do that, man. I can always do personal stuff. Before you came, so it can always be something else. I enjoy talking to you, man. I appreciate you coming, man.
I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure having you, man. We're definitely going to invite you back, man. We want to do more of this with more people in the community.
Right.
And, you know, even up and coming guys, man, I want to create that platform for everyone. Whether you're a young kid up and coming, whether you're a player from the past, you probably went through some, you know, peaks and valleys, and you can probably share something with, young listeners. And let them know, hey, stay away from this.
That's right.
Look in this direction when you get to that level, So that's
what this is. In a program like this would help.
Yeah.
On a bigger scale. I'm sure you guys are just, you're just starting out.
We're just starting it out on a bigger scale.
You can get a lot of people to come in and talk and put the word out there
and that's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose.
They need to have that.
That's the whole purpose. So again, OG, true legend, Tone in the building. Got the Beast in here, man. This was episode 29. Bars and Hoops signing off. Peace.
Over and out. Peace.
Over and out. Peace.
Fall in love with the brand new iPhone 11 at Tesco Mobile. Take amazing photos with Apple's best ever ultra-wide lens camera. You can get the iPhone 11 for just $37.75 a month with no additional upfront costs. What's not to love? Search Tesco Mobile or visit us in store. Tesco Mobile. Every little helps.
36-month credit agreement, rolling monthly usage contract. Subject to status, phase policy applies. See tescomobile.com/terms.
Your payroll deadline is rapidly approaching, but you're not waking up in a cold sweat. Afraid you've forgotten to pay your staff? Because with QuickBooks Payroll, it's all under control. So while QuickBooks is speeding through your pay runs, calculating pension contributions, and managing your taxes all in one place, you can chill like a koala in a hammock.
Search for QuickBooks Payroll. Intro offer for advanced payroll until 15th of November 2019. Visit quickbooks.co.uk for details. QuickBooks. Backing you.